Cropod contains language and themes which may not be suitable for anyone, but what is suitable for everybody is the great stuff from our friends at The Famous, iconic wear for bears. Go check out thefamousheadwear.co.uk. Great stuff over there. And if you want to win some stuff from them, scroll down, hit the Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes on this episode that you're listening to right now. We give away stuff from them every single month here on the Cropod. So check them out, thefamousheadwear.co.uk.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back to, part two of this week's two-part, number 355 special edition Cropod. Once again, I think we're level with Allie, but this could also be like number 417 or so. I don't know how many of these fucking things I've done, but Todd's here. David's not. Hi, Todd.
Yes. This is the return leg now. Yes. Always hot for hot European action. And, I have to apologize. I'm sorry I couldn't make it yesterday. I was too busy getting my death before podcasting tattoo. So it's all good. It's on the arms. The stupid thing about yesterday's scheduling is I had overcompensated for something that didn't need to be compensated for. It turned out, because I had a dental appointment and they had kept moving me around. You know, and they originally had me at like 8:50 in the morning. I'm like, perfect. I can go get the cleaning. I'm back at the house. I'll be in time for Cropod. And then they bumped me to like 9:20. They run it. I think they run these things on trains. I didn't notice, but somehow I had the 9:20. I didn't want to be late for that. So I thought this is going to take like over an hour. So I don't want to screw up the record. I don't want to pull a Dundee and go, hey, if you just waited, no, like, you know, we have
sometime by three. We'll get good.
So I was like, you know what? I'll pass this one. Maybe we can reschedule it. Turned out we couldn't because of David's big day in London. I hope it's going well. Not that you would know, because he doesn't do anything when he arrives in a city. So, no. You know.
Well, I think they're just there tonight. So Martin and them are out having fun, and David is in a hotel room somewhere.
In a hotel room trying to figure out what channel fucking...
Blackadder's
on, right, yes. I was literally scrambling, going, what is the British equivalent of Columbo? What is it? Is like, you know, Swallow or something.
Is it just Columbo? So, no. The Romanian equivalent of Columbo is Columbo.
Right.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, well, this is going to take an hour. And she was done. Like, you know, she moves the TV over so I can watch the ladies curling. And then next thing I know, bibs coming off, TV screens out. I'm like, I could have been on at 10:10. But
I mean, we were done by then because we
pretty worked, much
we early yesterday. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. Cause you went early. I do have notes. Mainly for David.
Good, because I have no idea what the fuck to do. This show is going to be a bloodbath. Let me tell you, friends. If you don't support the Cropod, it's going to be a bloodbath. It's going to be a bloodbath out there.
And that it's just going to be a bloodbath. I don't know what's going to happen out there. You know, when
a lot of people tell me it's going to be a bloodbath. I walked in, I said, wow, that's a bloodbath. That's a good bloodbath.
We all love a bloodbath, don't we, folks? You know, more people prefer shower. You can't flush a toilet anymore, but the bath is blood. It's bloodbath. We can do that. When he was talking about Tom Hanks, you can tell he doesn't watch modern movies, because when he said that, you know, Tom Hanks would make you cheer for Hitler if he played Hitler, obviously didn't see the Elvis movie.
Nope.
Obviously gave that one a pass, because let's put it this way. Colonel Tom Parker doesn't come off well.
No, not a great guy.
Not a great guy. Not Tom Hanks. If that was played by Tom Hanks in Philadelphia, Tom Hanks, he still couldn't save that movie. Like, he still couldn't do that. And the other thing I wanted to bring up, and this was just a small thing, but as soon as he said it, I went, hang on, he's wrong. Not wanting to see Tom Hanks getting his leg over.
Yeah.
Right? Not wanting to see Tom Hanks in any movie getting his Nat King. I don't know. You're going to have to help me out with this, and because I've narrowed it down to one of two movies that this is possibly from, and I've seen them many times, both of them, so they kind of blur together. It's either in Splash. First of all, I'm going to take out Bachelor Party. I'm going to take out that one because it's just him kind of like goofing around, you know, where his fiance is dressed up as a prostitute and he just goes silly. Yeah. That's nothing happens. There's no penetration, nothing there. One of these movies, there might have been, I don't know. I wasn't on set. But there's one of two movies. It's either Splash or Turner and Hooch.
I thought you were going to go back to Philadelphia, but yeah.
No. That was just alluded to. That was the male equivalent of doing a Bobert, except, you know, obviously a little bit more. There was less, in the Bobert arena, there was less like-minded people around that would condone that type of behavior and activity. But there's one of the movies, it's either Splash or Turner Hooch, where he finally beds the woman of interest. And I believe it could be Splash, isn't it? Is it Splash? Because it's this moment that I'm talking about. Because he has sex in both of them. And it's this reason. And then this is when I went, oh, that's what a director does. And this was at a tender age, because he comes in and she's already like, whoever it is, either Daryl Hannah or the other one from Turner and Hooch, is in the kitchen either getting water or making coffee or something like that, and is doing the, she's wearing the pajama tops while he's wearing the pajama bottoms.
Yeah.
You know, the 1970s signal to the audience, someone just got done banging. So there's that. And so they come in and they're talking. And so like Tom Hanks, he's shirtless, but he's wearing the pajama bottoms, and they're talking about how it went in the bedroom. And it seems to have gone okay. And then Tom Hanks walks in front of the, camera to go to the sink, and you see claw marks on his back.
Yes.
And I went, oh
yeah, that's true.
That's what a director
see,
does.
See, but well, yeah, because is it the dog or was it the girl?
No. Who was it? Now I'm curious. Who was it in Turner and Hooch?
Yeah, who I can't remember who the fuck that. Well, see, now I'm thinking. What was the? Oh, the first one he did was Sally Field, which you should definitely.
Oh, Punchline.
Know. Punchline, yes. Yeah.
No, he never banged Sally Field.
No. That would be very awkward.
No one's comedy was strong enough to bag anyone in that movie. For those of you who have seen the movie Punchline and think this is my job, I'd just like to dispel some myths for you. No one has a locker. Okay. We don't have a change room. Typically if you're a costume act, you go to the regular washroom to do it, or the green room. We do have a green room. You don't get four sets a night, in Canada. Sometimes you can, like, you can sit around and get like the ad nauseum shows, but like, no, you don't get like four sets a night. You certainly don't, because you feel like it, get to go up again, in front of the same crowd. Like, wait, I got some other ones. What else was in there? You don't get to do, who fucking wrote that movie? It was
Seltzer, right? Wasn't it?
It was Seltzer, but there was like a consultant who was a comic, Barry Sobel.
Barry Sobel.
You don't get to do his material, and why would you want to? there is always an older guy who isn't funny. That's true. That's true. Yeah. And 9 times out of 10, it's me. And the the Carson people just don't show up and pretend to. And you think they're the Carson people, but they're actually your parents. That doesn't happen. So, yes.
Todd, you've just burned down all of our listeners' hopes.
I know, right?
For doing 7 minutes.
Exactly. I will tell you this. You do get to do nooners at places like hospitals and shit. But there's never, George Wallace is never there clapping on his thumb that's in a cast. He's never there doing that. Come on. That said, I own that movie. Like I had a copy of it. I absolutely adored that movie for all the wrong reasons. It's just, it's one of those things where I go, well, that isn't right, but
it's like me watching any movie about journalism. So
right. You know, or David watching anything about World War II or Nixon.
Yeah, I got a buddy of mine. He's like, same as Kyle. He's an older guy. He's about the same age as my dad, but you know, he's like a downtown regular here. Good, you know, but he's just a street joke fucking legend. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, he's got every fucking one of them. So it's tough because, you know, I've always got you listen to your friend's joke like it's the first time every time, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I've got that mantra in my head. If you start one with him and he knows it, he'll cut you off. Right. You know, yes. He's like, nah, I'm 77. I don't got time for this fucking shit. But mm-hmm. I finally got him on one the other day. It was the old, the guy, you know, he shipwrecks on an island, right? He washes ashore mm-hmm. and it's him, a pig and a dog, right? Ashore. And, so, you know, he's making do. He doesn't want to, you know, it's like, this is his only companionship. He doesn't want to kill a pig. He doesn't want to kill a dog, you know? There's enough food they find mm-hmm. on the island, water and everything. And, you know, he's just hoping mm-hmm. he's going to ride it out, see how long it takes. So, you know, it's been a few months. He's laying there one night and, you know, I mean, just like any other man, you're looking for the caress, as it were. So, you know, he's laying there by the fire and he's looking over at the pig and he's like, oh, man, you know, fuck it. All right. So, you know, he goes over and he starts nuzzling up to the pig, right? You know, he's nuzzling. The dog, fuck. You know, I didn't know you two were, you know, all right, yeah. You know, so he backs away. So, you know, a few more months go by, same thing. You know, there's only so many times you can go to Pound Town, right? So, you know, he mm-hmm, nuzzles up by the pig again, and then the dog, fuck, all right, fuck this, I'm done. You know, never trying this one again. So, I mean, you know, months go by, years. He doesn't know. Mm-hmm. You know, he's shipwrecked on a fucking mm-hmm. island. You know, the sun comes up, mm-hmm. sun goes down. And finally, one day, you know, there's some debris washing ashore. Looks like an airplane. Then this beautiful blonde woman washes ashore. She survived this horrible, horrible plane crash. You know, he brings her on, mm-hmm. brings her onto the island and nurses her back and gets everything. You know, she's there. Finally, after a couple weeks, you know, they're sitting there one night and she goes, you know, is there anything, you know, like, I owe you my life. Is there anything I can do for you? And he goes, yeah, you know what? Can you hold that dog for about 2 minutes?
Ah, gorgeous.
I finally got Kyle with that one.
Oh, that's gorgeous. That is gorgeous. In the same vein, and not to turn this into my other podcast, okay, so here's one of podcast celebrations.
Look, me and David talked about the football yesterday. We're good doing
sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, the lack of it. Yeah, we talked. Yes. There was not much to talk about other than fuck everyone. Really, well,
there was some good football in like the middle, you know, third of the pitch on Thursday.
Sure.
Not so much at the, mm-hmm. the other end, but yeah. And then, obviously not on Sunday, but.
Yeah, you know you're watching a troubling Ranger side when you're halfway through and you go, Scott Wright's doing well. That's
yeah.
That's a tell.
Is Sam Lammers coming on?
Hey, he's on fire right now. By that, I mean he's by that I mean he actually has a shade of gasoline.
Yeah. You know?
Yes. Yeah. So here's okay. So here's one. And this one comes from Brent Butt, friend of the show, comedian, creator of Corner Gas. So he came on the show and he gave me this one. A guy as a bartender, early shift in the day. There's not much going on. He's like in a rural part of Alberta, and he's just setting up for the day. Doors open, you know, if anyone comes in, cool. But he knows the rush is coming in a few hours. And suddenly, in the door frame, a grizzly bear is standing there, and he goes, "Holy shit!" And the bear goes, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa! Calm right down." And now the bartender's like, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, I know." I know it's a bit to get around the fact that I'm a bear and I'm standing here in your bar and I'm talking to you. I know it's a lot to take in, but that's where we are. I'm sorry. And he goes, okay. He goes, should I be worried? He goes, no, you don't need to be worried. I'm looking for a job. And the bartender goes, why are you coming to me, a bartender, for a job? He goes, why aren't you doing like bear stuff? He goes, well, I can't do bear stuff anymore. Because, you know, we got the fires, right? You know, if I just, I need money, you know, I can't survive as a bear out there because, you know, I eat berries and there's no berries because they all got burnt, right? And so, you know, I was thinking, well, I'm an omnivore. I could eat little critters. Well, all the little critters fucked off, so I can't eat them. Starving out there, you know, I got a few months before I got to stock up and hibernate. I needs me some dollars. So, can you get me a job? And the bartender goes, well, I don't honestly, if I had a position available for a bear, I would give it to you, but I don't have one. But here's something. There's a circus that's in town. They're just setting up now for the weekend. They might need someone like you, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Think about that. You should go there. And the bear stands there for a minute and then looks at the bartender and goes, why would the circus need a bartender? Syntactically, we just told the exact same joke, but it's so great.
Oh man, God, what was it? I got Kyle another one. Oh, the guy, you know, he's trying to go to his favorite tobacconist, right? Mm-hmm. But he finds out it's closed. It's turned into a haberdashery. Right.
Okay. Yep.
Clothes, but no cigar.
Mm-hmm. Oh fuck.
Welcome back to the Crow Pod, everybody. Oh.
Okay, so here's one. Two kids. Just before breakfast, they're up, kind of getting ready for the day. You know, in the bathroom, brushing their teeth and shit. And the 6-year-old and the 4-year-old. And the 6-year-old turns to the 4-year-old and goes, I think we should start swearing. And the 4-year-old goes, do you think we should start that? He goes, yeah, I think we should start that. He goes, okay, so how do we start that? And the 6-year-old goes, tell you what, I'll start, and then you just follow my lead. And the 4-year-old goes, okay. So they file downstairs, breakfast table's all set up. Mom's there, you know, getting stuff ready, you know, for everyone to start their day. And she turns to the 6-year-old and she says, so son, what do you want for breakfast? And he goes, I'll have some Cocoa Puffs, bitch. Slammo! Back of the hand. The kid goes flying, hits the wall, slides down it, just dazed. And so she turns to the 4-year-old, very miffed, very, very agitated right now, and goes, well, what do you want for breakfast then? And the 4-year-old pauses and goes, well, I sure as fuck don't want Cocoa Puffs.
Oh, God. I think this is a Norm joke. I can't remember now. But, you know, because I went back to work in the bar, you know. Yes. It was for a buddy of mine. He needs some help for a while, and I got a wedding to pay for. So, you know, fuck it. So, you know, I'm there, and like, I mean, I've worked with a lot of these people before, but there was a newer bartender, one I hadn't met. that's working for the company now. And I'm talking to her about my buddy Rick back there. And because, I knew Rick way back when, and, you know, he was working as a he called it a male escort, you know, for other mm-hmm. men. You know, he's having a lot of, yeah, it's got to be a Norm joke. He's having a lot of gay sex.
Yeah. He's like, gay sex.
How much money do you make doing that? And he goes, I made $450.05 last night. My God, that's a lot of money. I thought, you know, yeah. Goes, well, how'd you get the 5 cents? He goes, well, there was 9,001 of them.
Gorgeous.
Oh God. Fuck it. Let's now we've done this for the whole first half of the show. Let's take the break.
Take a break.
Come right back.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, welcome back to part
fourth quarter
of the credits. We're into the final stretch for this week. Of course, again, go check our friends at famousheadwear.co.uk, blueroomart.co.uk, and our good friend Mark Boyd, recovery and repair, massage therapy in East Kilbride. He will rub you gently, rub you softly, rub you slowly, rub you hard. I think he'll rub you any way you want to, really. And any way that won't make you complain to the wife, you know, that'd be awkward, I think. If you did, fuck, I don't know where the hell I'm going with this. All right, let's just keep telling jokes. I don't care shit. you're the professional. You're on the clock here.
this one I like. So Mother Teresa dies and goes to heaven.
Okay.
And she gets up there, and Gabriel is waiting for her at the gate and just goes, Mother Teresa, we've been waiting for you. And she's like, well, thank you, my son. And she makes for the door, and she's like, no, Mother Teresa, you get the grand tour, someone of your caliber. Let's show you the grounds first. We can go inside. You know, we got all the time in the world to see the inside, so don't worry. So they start walking around, and they pass by this window from the outside of the gates, and it's piercing screaming coming out of it. And she says to Gabriel, so what is that? And he goes, oh, they're drilling the holes for the wings. It's a little painful, but it's you know, you get over it. She goes, it sounds very painful. So it's like, oh yeah, it's the most painful thing you'll ever feel in your life. But you know, wings. He's okay, and they carry on, and they pass this other window, and larger screams, like blood curdling, like never heard this in her life. And she's seen suffering, she's never heard anything like this. She goes, what's that? And he goes, well, that's the hole drilling for the halo. We gotta set the halo. And she's like, you have to drill? There's no others. Yeah, we have to drill. It's a, you know, tradition. And so they go back to the gate, and so she's like, you know, the grounds are nice. And he pushes the gates open, and Mother Teresa just standing there. She went, I think I'm going to pass. I think I'm going to go to the other place. And Gabriel goes, you want to go to hell? And she goes, yeah, I think so. And he goes, but you realize when you go there, it's nothing but sodomy and rape for the rest of your life. And she goes, yeah, but I got the holes for that. Why do I get the feeling I lost you?
Oh, no, I'm still here, baby.
Yep.
Damn it. God. Are you still there? I still got you, Todd. Son of a bitch. Hold on.
Oh, I think he's gone.
No, I'm here. God damn it. Yeah, I can just sit.
Drunken cameraman technical.
The fucking bear with the microphone. That's. All right, so yeah, we had some technical difficulties there, but we're back. We're back doing this.
Right on the punchline.
Nothing. Oh, I got the punch. The punch was in there.
Yeah, okay, good. Don't get me that. But there's absolutely zero reaction. I'm like, oh.
I mean, you're used to that by now, surely.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's, you know, that's every Thursday for me. That's my open mic night. That's my open mic night. I'm used to that.
Oh, fucking hell. Let's see. what we can do some old Sven and Oli jokes. You do any of those?
Sven and Oli? Oh, so those Sven are like your
upper Midwest.
You're two dumb people? Is that what they are?
You're upper Midwest. Well, I mean, you can do like Sven and Edna. Well, yeah. So like, you know, Sven and Edna, right? So they get married and they go down to the travel agent. You know, we mm-hmm. used to have those things. Yes. You go to a place and they book you a holiday or whatever. So they go down to the travel agent. You know, we want to book our honeymoon. You know, we just got married. No, that's great. You know, congratulations. We've got this lovely, 7-day, 6-night cruise package in the Caribbean right now for both of you. It'd only be $2,100. So I'm like, oh. No, that's a little too rich for our blood. You know, I don't think we can do that. You know, she goes, all right, well, you know, let me look. She goes, you know, here's one. New York, 3 nights. You get to go to a couple Broadway shows. You get to go see the big city. Nice hotels. You know, for the both of you, it'd be $1,200. Oh, no, you know, we just... I don't think we can afford that, you know. Goes, all right, well, you know, let me look. She goes, you know what? There's a bus heading up to Duluth with some hunters on it, and you can probably find like a nice travel lodge up there. The bus is only $30. Oh, yeah, no, I think Edna, yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, okay, you know, so they go, they get on the bus, right, and here they go, they're going up to Duluth. You know, this bus full of hunters, and they get, you know, like 30 miles outside of St. Paul there, and the bus breaks down. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody pile out of the bus, and they're all standing around. Oh, you know, Edna goes, you know, Sven, they're fixing the bus there. We could go over there in the woods, and, you know, we could consummate the marriage. Oh, no. We're not going to do that here. No. We're going to wait till I'm going to carry you over the threshold. We're going to wait till we get to the lodge. All right. So, you know, they get the bus fixed and they're rolling. They're going down the road again. You know, another couple hours, the bus breaks down again. Same thing. You know, now this time, Sven, you know, Edna, you know, what you mentioned back there, we could sneak over there into the woods and, you know, we could consummate the marriage. I said, no, we're waiting till we get to the lodge. You told me you want to carry me over the threshold. Fine, you know, and so, you know, the hunters, you know, they get the bus fixed. They're back. They're cruising down the road. Everything's fine. So, finally, you know, another hour. Bus breaks down again. Sven, you know, he's fuck it. I'm going to try this one more time. He said, oh, Edna, you know, we could sneak over there into the woods and, you know, consummate marriage. And she goes, yeah, okay. So, you know, they go over in the woods and they do the thing that you never see Tom Hanks do on screen.
Exactly. Yes.
You know, they get back on the bus there and they're going down the road. And Sven's, you know, he's sitting there. He's got this, sitting there thinking. God. And it was, you know, the first time the bus break down, you asked me if I want to consummate the marriage. I said, oh, you know, the second time I ask you, you want to consummate the marriage. You say no. That the third time, say you want to consummate the marriage, and you say, "Well, what happened in you know between those two?" And she goes, "Well, you know, I was sitting out there listening to the hunters, and they said if the bus breaks down one more time, the fucking season's going to be over." This is the worst show we've ever done.
Oh my god. It's the worst and the best. And by the way, when you said they did that thing that Tom Hanks never does on screen, I assume you meant showed joy. Showed any genuine look of god, joy.
I finally watched hold on. Well, no, does this qualify? I don't know what. No, this came out after.
David's 90s film review.
No, it came out after, and David's not here. Right. I finally watched fucking Sully the other day.
Oh, my shit. That's God. An okay one.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's great, but like the lengths that. Look, if people don't know, like Clint Eastwood's very, very, very far right fucking man. Like the lengths he went through to make. Like, oh, this guy saved a bunch of people, and the government fucking hated him for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. The deep state came at Tom Hanks. See, what they should have done is combine the two movies where, you know, Tom Hanks flies
the money trap and Sully.
Well, I was thinking, actually, no, take the one where...
That's just Boeing, I think, is what that
That's
is.
True. Yeah. I was hoping like more of a Sully, but with Denzel Washington's drunk pilot in whichever movie that was, where he's just like, I got to fly it upside down. It's like, there's no geese. What are you talking about? Like, this...
that is the most coked up pilot thing. Like, fuck yeah. This. I'm turning the plane over.
Right.
Oh god, damn it.
I have one similar to your Sven and Ollie.
Yes.
Newlywed couple, they move into their new house. And this is in the olden days when you didn't live with each other for 8 years and then figure out each other, right? Yeah. So this is, you know, they're kind of new at the whole thing, right? And
that once, it didn't work. So
oh, right. Yeah. Live the fuck out of them. And then, then when you know there's no path untrod, then you can go in. So the wife comes up to the husband and goes, honey, you know, one of the pipes is leaking in the upstairs bathroom. Any chance you could fix it? And the husband looks like, what do I look like, Mr. Plumber? And he goes to work. She goes, okay. And so a few days later, you know, she's, you know, at the breakfast table and it's like, sweetheart, I was trying to go to the store yesterday, but the car won't start. I think it needs a new battery. Could you change it? And he goes, what do I look like, Mr. Goodwrench? And he takes it. So okay, fine. So like the, you know, next day, she's like, hey, while you're away, I noticed there's a leak in the roof. It's going into the spare bedroom. Is any chance you could fix it? And he goes, what do I look like, Bob Vila? And so that
for our Scottish listeners, Bob Vila was a guy who did like a fix it show.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know what the DIY show is over there. I assume the Great British Fix Up House. I think that's probably
Red Green, I think is
Red Green. Oh, that's Canadian. That's if Red Green made it to the okay. Here's another thing. I love that that when David thought that all of we pause this joke just for a sidebar. I love when David's perception of all of the USA was the John Hughes films of lovely yes. suburbs of Chicago. To be fair, my initial thoughts of Scotland came from Riff Raff and Trainspotting, so it's not much better. What about Braveheart? Yeah, that's kind of old. So anyway, so what do I look like, Bob Vila? So the husband comes home that night and the tap is fixed, the car starts, and the roof is not leaking anymore. And so the wife's at the stove making dinner, and he says, how did you get all this stuff done? And she goes, oh, I had a handyman come over, and he fixed them. It's just, oh, great. Okay, well, how much is this going to cost me? And the wife said, you'll be happy to know, nothing. He said he'd do it for free if I either baked him a cake or slept with him. And the husband went, okay, well, what kind of cake did you make? He goes, what the fuck do I look like, Betty Crocker? Love it.
Oh, God.
Love it.
I just wanted to thank you to all of our listeners.
Yes. It's lovely that you're here and sad to see you leave. But there we are.
God, we're almost back to, I mean, it's almost 4 years of us redoing this shit now.
Right.
It's coming up, right? Yeah, because, I mean, like, lockdown, God, I had that, well, because, you know, you get, like, the Facebook memory shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, the only time I look at it, you know, I don't do anything, you know. I don't do anything on Facebook.
Yeah.
And, no, I got the memories that, like, popped up, you know, March 15th. I still remember distinctly that day. So I went in because I was running another friend of mine's. Well, I had like three of his bars at the time. And I went in with my head chef, good friend of mine. We got, you know, it was a Sunday. And Sunday, we, you know, all of them were closed. So we went in, we did a lot of prep work for the week and everything. And then we went to our favorite bar in town, Mary's Place. Right. And we're sitting there having a beer. And we knew Chicago had already shut down, right? Because they wanted to get out ahead of the St. Patrick's Day fucking shenanigans.
Right, right.
And
the Orange River regalia.
I love the Chicago Bears for doing that. we're at the bar, and all of a sudden, you know, Governor Pritzker comes on the screen. You know, and the TV is just muted. You know, you're in the bar. It's just TV and screen. I was like, "Well, that's we're fucked." He goes, "What do you mean?" I was like, "That's him telling like we're shutting down." Sure as shit, we start getting the emails from like the Restaurant Association and everything. Yep. Like, here's what you do. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, me and David, you know, we touched on this a little bit. Like, for him, it makes sense because David doesn't want to deal with any of you. This is probably not news to any listeners right now. David doesn't want to talk to you. He doesn't want anything to do with you. He's just very happy that you listen to all of his shows.
Yes.
For me and you, as like outward, frontward facing, you know, I mean, like you're in a customer service job. I mean, comedy is a customer service
effectively.
Job. Same thing. You know, it was odd for me at first because, you know, I went to, well, not having to talk to people every day except for like the people I lived with. And then after like, it only took me about 3 weeks to really adjust to that shit. And I fucking loved lockdown. It was great. It was fun. Like, I only had to talk to like the five people that I actually like. You know, they would come over. We would sit out, you know, because you can't go inside each other's houses. That's so we would sit out on the back porch and grill and drink beer and look at all my birds they have all over the fucking place and everything. Nice. It was fucking awesome. I'm not advocating for another horrible viral disease that kills millions of people.
Have I got good news for you?
Hey, no, it's look, measles is back in Chicago. So like, you know,
measles is everywhere. So
God.
Yeah.
Thank God Robert Kennedy Jr. is out there running for president.
Oh, Jesus Christ. That's
I have always said, man, his dad would have fucking buried him in a very deep grave.
Oh my God. It's like, the wrong one got shot. His words, not mine. His words, not mine. That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
do not isolate that clip. Do not isolate.
Todd's fledgling comedy career is now over.
That's fledgling. Jesus. No. My it's not fledgling. Mine is like a condor sitting on a stoop smoking a cigarette. That's my comedy career. If you want the moment that sums up my career in comedy at every step of the way, it's when you're going to a store and you step up on the stoop and about to go into the store. And it's like one of those glass doors and your hand is on the handle. And through the door, the shopkeep turns the sign that's dangling on a hook from open to closed and locks the door. That's my comedy career right there in a nutshell.
Oh God, I had some people last night. So I end up, you know, a couple of people call off. And me doing the me thing, like I cooked and I bartended and I did everything last night by myself.
Right.
And Yeah, it was getting, I don't know. I mean, it was closing time. I'm not going to say it was like fucking,
right,
you know, like 11. I mean, it was closing time. It was time, mm-hmm. you know, like 1:30. I was like, I'm walking out there. I see a car pull up, finishing my cigarette, walk mm-hmm. back in, pull the chain on the light as they're getting out of the car. Right. It's just like, just the emptiness in their face and in their soul right then. Like, oh, all right, what bar is open right now?
Right. And the irony is that the people coming out of the car were Semisonic.
God, we used to have a 24-hour bar in this town. Well, oh, yeah. I mean, not in Rockford proper. It was up in
right.
Rockton.
Okay.
Okay. Just north of town. But so whatever they rewrote, or they had something new with like their liquor code, right? Their liquor okay. license. And sure. the thing of it is, if you leave gaps in a liquor license, you have people like me that will find ways to fucking exploit.
Yes.
It. Yeah. So the way they wrote it, it didn't delineate the hours that you could be open. You only had to be closed for 1 hour a day. Well, you couldn't serve liquor for 1 hour a day, right? You didn't even have to be closed. You just couldn't serve liquor for 1 hour a day. Right. So, yeah, we ended up with a 24-hour bar, which meant that all of us that worked in the industry, you know, at 2:30 or 3 o'clock or whenever the fuck we got done, would drive mm-hmm. 15 miles up to mm-hmm. Rockton to go sit at the bar until the sun came up.
Right.
Doing, you know, not legal things in the bathroom and having other libations and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fucking train wreck, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have that issue here in, and this is where parenting is so weird. because like when I grew up, my parents were like, there's no drinking in this house, no drinking. So
commiserate sirens.
For oh, yeah, there we go. Yeah. There we go. coming to gather me from my childhood. My parents were like, Arden, it was a dry house, no drinking. Like, we grew up in small town Ontario. Like,
yeah.
what do you think is going to happen? And not great things, to be quite honest. So, but when you're in Ottawa, because the drinking hours, first of all, the drinking hours are extended in Quebec, which is right on the border.
Yeah.
Because it goes Ottawa and then you skip over into Quebec. So you can drink until, I think, 3 over there. And the drinking age is a year younger. It goes from 19 to 18. So all these 18-year-olds just go over. And we have friends in the neighborhood that have 18-year-old kids. And they have just resigned themselves to the fact that they're going to Quebec anyway. We might as well drive them. It's like, where does that stop? Like, where, now that you're a taxi service... Oh, we might as well just give them, might as well bankroll the thing. Here's $80. Go get yourself lit. Like,
well, I mean, like Wisconsin back in the day, you know, like Illinois had changed the drinking age to 21 by that point. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin, it was still 18. So, like, you go to fucking Beloit and you get 10-cent fucking bottles in a yeah. bucket. I mean, yeah. you spend fucking $10 a whole night, be obliterated, and have to mm-hmm. drive, like you said, 10, 15, 30 miles, or wherever the hell you came from,
right,
back home.
Mm-hmm. I know who this was. We talked about this last night. I was having dinner with the in-laws, and my father-in-law told me that this one bar that they would go to when he was a student would stay open until the last drink was swallowed. Like they would stop serving.
Yes.
But they would stay open until you were finished your beverage. That was the rule. So yeah. Right at closing time, like right at 1 o'clock, they would order trays of draft.
Yes.
And there'd be 18 on a tray.
Yeah.
And so they would be up until 6. and I said, so the staff loved you guys, huh? Like,
oh God.
Well, everyone just like, wants to leave.
We used to have to get used like Sunday in Rockford, mm-hmm. you can't buy You can't buy beer till I think 10. I think it's 10 right. o'clock. You can't like mm-hmm. even at the the carry out stations.
Right.
And but if you go to Love's Park, which directly borders Rockford, you can get beer at 6.
Sure.
But Love's Park has the highest rate of DUI arrests
in the state.
So it's like, I mean, you know, you're sitting there at like 5:30 on a Sunday morning, you know, coked up and drunk, and like, do we risk it?
Oh yeah.
All right, who's going this week? God. Oh fuck it. All right, that's look. You got
two episodes.
I didn't say what the fuck they would be. You know, look, me and David talked about football, and then we talked about a bad movie, and then me and Todd told jokes for 40 minutes.
We told jokes.
Yeah. I feel bad. You know, on the plus side, they get double onion headlines. See?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I will start with the reductress, and I quite like this one. Why I'm looking for a friend with benefits so I can have a friend. Love it. And from the Onion, this one was pretty sweet. Everyone on mom's hall pass list dead. And we all know this guy. We all know this guy. I'll leave on this one. Shitty music has helped moron through hardest times in his pointless life.
I like that, because I got to do different ones from yesterday.
Yep. This is tough. Yeah.
I did like, I see you report sources looking through empty paper towel roll. Oh God. And let's see, depressed dad not even touching rest of family's dinners.
There. Beautiful.
Fuck. Todd, you're fine. Hey, it's TVA. Oh, what, you got one more?
Last one. Oh God, this is so great. Pregnant woman playing lots of Mozart in hope of making husband smarter. I love it when the onion bleeds reductress. I love it. I love it.
Oh, man. Oh, fuck. I never did the, what was the, oh, shit. There was a very local-ish one that I found after. Oh, yes. Polish man that landlord sent over smashes hammer through wall, leaves.
Yes. Yep. Gorgeous.
Oh, God. All right, Todd, all his stuff, you go to HeyIt'sTVA.com. Find him on Twitter, xrangerstwitter.com at HeyIt'sTVA. You showing? Yep. What are you doing?
I am on pause until the beginning of April. And then I have I love this. It's like they say, promo this show for us. I'm like, okay, I'll promo it. It's like, here's a show I'm doing. It's in a theater. It's in Nepean just outside of Ottawa. It's a little thing. Yeah. It'll be great. And it's for members only of this particular organization. So I'm like, what the fuck am I?
Do they wear members only jackets?
Yes, I believe so. They're all rolled up. They're expecting comedy from the 80s.
It's a very swishy noise.
Yes. I'll be highlighting the difference between Jerry Seinfeld and Paul Reiser.
What's the deal with this club?
Jerry Seinfeld is, what's wrong with these people? And and Paul Reiser is, what's wrong with these people?
And one had a good show.
One had a good show. And the other had it written by Larry David. So...
Hey,
now.
Jokes don't stop. All right. Well, hopefully, you're gone next. God damn
it. I'm gone next week. We'll be back next week.
Hold on. For everybody that's sick of Todd missing shows, this cunt is going, literally, I'm not joking, going to Bora Bora next week.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. So Todd won't be here next week.
I won't be here next week. I will be.
Because he's in Bora Bora.
I'm in Bora Bora drinking high cost vodka and trying not to get Zika. Like that's my life. That's what I mean.
Hopefully it's all inclusive at least. I mean, like, did she do that?
Yeah, we can't figure it out. We think yes, but we don't know. It's so weird. So I know we got at least two meals and they stock something. So I guess I will report back. Yes, I will.
Yes. Please tell me about your fucking holiday in Bora Bora.
Yes.
While I'm here in Rockford in the fucking 0 degree weather. Yes.
Wait until your wife turns 50. I don't know what to tell you. That's
next year.
I am literally the plus one here. She's bringing me out of duty. She was filling out the second guest information, I heard her go, ugh, I suppose.
Fuck.
Someone's got to drive me to the airport.
God damn it. All right, that's it. I don't know. Me and David will be back with something next week, and then Todd will be back to make you feel bad about your life the weekend. Perfect timing with the international break. I mean,
right. So. Timing when Boeing planes are dropping from the sky. So who knows?
Make sure you're on an Airbus. By the way, it just as like a PSA for like the people that actually listen to the end of the show, you can kind of look on all the booking sites now and pick out what plane you want to fly. Don't fly in a Boeing plane because they literally just came out and said like, well, we got to like weigh up the money against not killing you.
Right.
In our look, for me, steel death tubes.
Yes.
And now they are just blowing up in the middle of the fucking air. Wheels are falling off the goddamn things.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Nope. Never getting on a plane ever again. So, all right, Todd, we'll see you in a couple of weeks here, brother.
Yep. I'll be back.
All right. Love you, man. Talk to y'all soon. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Some people call me the space cowboy.
It's kind of a fucking serious at all.